Bicatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. You know, if you, the listener, are sort of wrestling with all the current buzz you hear, digital transformation, AI, everywhere, every company claiming it's a data company, well, we thought we'd go back to the beginning, really, to find the history, the foundations you need to understand all this.
And we are diving deep into James W. Cortada's really quite definitive work, Information and the Modern Corporation. It offers this crucial insight that really reframes how we think about business history. Basically, information. It used to be just a byproduct.
A byproduct, like smoke from a chimney.
Exactly, like the exhaust fumes from a factory. But now, now it's the main thing. It's the primary asset, the absolute driving force, and, well, the defining feature of corporate success today.
That's a huge shift from exhaust fumes to the engine itself. So Cortada is arguing that essentially successful modern companies are information processing entities. That's their core function.
That's the core argument. They exist, you know, first and foremost, to take raw data and transform it into strategic knowledge, into value.
Okay. And why is digging into this like 150-year history so important for us right now?
Because it gives you context. It shows that the challenges you might be facing today, you know, data silos, information overload, trying to get different systems to actually talk to each other, these aren't brand new problems from the 2000s.
Yeah.
No, they're the fundamental long-running challenges that have literally shaped the evolution of the corporation. This history explains how we got to big data and AI.
Right. It's not just what the tech is, but why it developed.
Right.
Okay, let's unpack this history and maybe start with the author, James Cortada. His background sounds, well, pretty unique, kind of spanning two different worlds.
It really is fascinating. He's got this dual identity. He's a proper academic historian, PhD and everything. But he also spent over 30 years, three decades, as a senior consultant and researcher at IBM.
IBM. So he wasn't just reading about this stuff. He was in it. He saw it happening from the inside at one of the biggest players.
Precisely. He was an active participant, a witness to the later stages of the story he tells. He was there when companies were grappling with mainframes, with the first PCs.
So he probably saw firsthand the struggles, the human side of adopting all this tech, not just the grand strategy, but the messy reality.
That's what makes his perspective so valuable. It's grounded. It's an on-the-floor view. He doesn't just talk about inventors or CEOs. He gets into how the actual clerks, the managers, how they use these tools, punch cards, early spreadsheets, and how their jobs were completely changed by them. It's a history of use, of implementation.
Implementation, not just invention. I like that. Okay, so the book itself, it covers a huge sweep of time, right? 150 years.
Yeah, roughly 1870s up to the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And it traces this really intimate, co-evolving relationship between American business and information technology. They grew up together, basically.
And where does this story kick off? What was the initial spark?
It starts with what Cortada calls the paperwork crisis, late 19th century. Think about the rise of these huge national companies, railroads spanning the continent, big mail order retailers like Sears, telegraph companies.
Right. Suddenly they weren't just local shops. They were massive, spread out.
Exactly. And they hit an administrative wall. Their physical scale outpaced their ability to manage themselves internally. Imagine coordinating trains across thousands of miles or tracking millions of individual customer orders.
Just drowning in paper, ledgers everywhere.
Drowning is the right word.
Yeah.
And that crisis sets up Cortada's core power, this cycle. Business gets more complex. That creates an information problem, which forces companies to adopt new tech. And that tech then allows them to become even more complex and grow bigger.
Ah, a feedback loop.
Yeah.
Tech solves a problem, enabling more complexity, creating new problems.
Precisely. And the book tracks how information's role shifts through that cycle from just needing to keep basic records straight to becoming this absolutely critical strategic weapon.
Okay, so let's follow that path. If information is the strategic asset now, how did they even start managing it back then? What were those first, maybe overlooked technologies that tackled that initial paperwork crisis, say from the 1870s to the 1950s?
Well, we tend to jump straight to electronics, but Cortada highlights the mechanical foundation first. Things we barely think of as tech now.
Like what?
The typewriter. Seems basic, but it brought speed, legibility, standardization to business communication. And carbon paper, suddenly you could make copies instantly without laborious hand copying.
Okay, standardization and duplication makes sense for scale.
And then The vertical file cabinet.
A file cabinet? Seriously?
Sounds incredibly mundane, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But shifting from flat drawers where papers just piled up to vertical folders you could label and organize systematically, that was revolutionary for retrieval. Suddenly you could find things.
Okay, I can see that. Storage and retrieval. But the big leap was the punch card, right? The tabulating machines.
Absolutely. That's where information starts to become a tool for management, not just record keeping. Herman Hollerith develops it for the U.S. Census, these electromechanical machines. Companies like insurance firms, government agencies, they could suddenly process data volumes that were previously unthinkable.
So they could count things faster.
Much faster. But more importantly, they could analyze it,
do
statistical analysis. It's the birth of kind of data-driven management science. Information becomes an active tool for control.
Okay, so mechanical tools lay the groundwork. Then we hit the electronic age, the mid-century, 1950s to the 80s. The mainframe computer arrives. Big change.
Huge potential change. But Cortada points out it wasn't immediately transformative in the way people might think.
How so?
Well, initially, businesses mostly saw mainframes as just really, really fast punch card machines. Good for automating existing back office stuff like payroll, billing, accounting. Necessary, but not strategic, not yet.
And they were these giant, expensive machines, right? Kept separate.
Exactly. Massively expensive, needed special rooms, special staff. This created the whole glass house phenomenon. The computer was this centralized resource, physically and culturally walled off from the rest of the business.
The glass house and the technical priesthood, you mentioned that term. What did that actually mean for, say, a manager trying to get information out of this system?
It meant you were dealing with the data processing department, the DP folks. They were the gatekeepers. They understood the machine, the code, the processes.
Yeah.
If you were, I don't know, a sales manager and you wanted a specific report.
You couldn't just run it yourself.
No way. You'd fill out a request form, submit it, and then wait days, maybe weeks, for the DP department to schedule it, run it, print it out. It was a major bottleneck.
Wow. Okay. So this leads to attempts like Management Information Systems, MIS, trying to get managers better data.
Yes. That was the promise of MIS. Timely, strategic data delivered by the computer. But Cortada argues it often fell short, partly because of that technical bottleneck, but also because organizations didn't really change how they worked to use the information effectively. The culture wasn't ready.
So the mainframe centralizes power and data, creates a bottleneck. How did things start to shift away from that? What broke that central control?
Ah, now we get to the really disruptive part, the 1980s. The organizational transformation fueled by the personal computer, the PC.
The PC on every desk, or starting to be.
Exactly. And Cortada argues this might be the single biggest power shift in modern corporate history. It starts the real democratization of information processing.
And what drove that? Just having the machine wasn't enough, was it?
No. It needed the software, specifically the killer app, the electronic spreadsheet. First VisiCalc, then the behemoth, Lotus 1-2-3.
The spreadsheet. I remember Lotus 1-2-3. How was that so revolutionary?
Because it completely bypassed the central IT bottleneck. Suddenly, a manager, an analyst, anyone, could do complex financial modeling, forecasting what-if scenarios, right there on their own desktop.
Without asking the DP department.
Without asking anyone. They didn't need the high priests in the glass house anymore for that kind of analysis. It was incredibly empowering.
So computing power gets distributed out to the edges, to the end users.
Precisely. And this fuels a huge shift away from rigid top-down hierarchies towards more flexible, distributed decision-making. Managers felt empowered, but it created a new headache.
Which was?
Data fragmentation. Now, you had thousands of PCs, each with its own spread feeds, its own little data silos. None of it connected. Everyone had their own version of the truth.
Ah, right. The spreadsheet chaos era.
Yeah.
So that leads us into the next phase, connecting all these newly empowered but separate pieces.
Exactly. The final historical piece Cortada covers is the network enterprise era, starting really in the 1990s and going forward. The challenge became, how do we link all this distributed power back together?
So things like email, internal networks.
Intranets, email, eventually the internet itself.
Yeah.
They started wiring the corporation together, turning it into a kind of networked organism. But to really tackle the data fragmentation problem, you saw the rise of these massive enterprise resource planning systems, ERP.
The SAPs, the Oracles, those huge complex systems.
Yeah, the goal there was ambitious. Try to reintegrate all that fragmented data from sales, manufacturing, finance, HR, everything into one single unified corporate-wide system. A single source of truth. Easier said than done, of course.
I bet. But when it worked, the impact could be massive, right? Like in supply chains.
Absolutely. Cortada uses examples like Walmart, who became masters of using networked information. They shared sales data directly with suppliers in near real time. That kind of coordination revolutionized logistics and efficiency. Information wasn't just internal. It became the connective tissue for the whole business ecosystem.
Wow. Okay, so we've gone from paper ledgers and typewriters to globally networked ERP systems and supply chains coordinated by data flows. It's quite a journey.
It really is. 150 years of constant change, constant adaptation.
So looking back across that whole span, what are the big enduring lessons Cortada pulls out? What's the thread connecting all these different eras?
He boils it down to three really powerful themes, I think. The first one is what he calls co-evolution, not determinism.
Meaning technology didn't just happen to business.
Right. It wasn't that tech dictated everything. Instead, the needs of growing complex businesses spurred the invention and adoption of information technology. And then that new technology enabled businesses to become even more complex and capable. It's a constant back and forth, a mutual shaping. You can't separate the history of the company from the history of its information tools.
Okay, they evolved together. Makes sense. What's the second theme?
The second is really his central thesis. Information is a strategic asset. This is the big takeaway. It's not just a support function anymore, not just the cost to be minimized. Cortada shows that companies that consistently viewed IT and information capabilities as strategic investments, they consistently outperformed those who just saw it as overhead. Information capability is the real source of sustainable competitive advantage now.
So how you manage information is your competitive edge. Yeah. And the third theme, you mentioned the human element earlier.
Yes. The third is the profound transformation of work and skills. Every single technological shift, from the typewriter introducing typing skills, to the PC needing spreadsheet skills, to today needing data analysis skills, required huge ongoing investment in educating and retraining the workforce. The skills needed to just do a task became less important than the skills needed to analyze, interpret, and leverage the information generated by that task. Old skills become obsolete, new ones become critical.
And that loops right back to the listener, doesn't it? It implies that everyone, no matter their job title, needs to see themselves partly as an information manager now.
I think that's exactly right. You have to be constantly learning, adapting, figuring out how to use the information tools available to you more effectively. Cortada's history shows the human capacity to adapt is just as important, if not more so, than the technology itself.
These themes really hammer home how fundamental this shift has been. And Cortada has some pretty memorable ways of phrasing these ideas, doesn't he? You mentioned some quotes.
He does. They really crystallize the core message.
Yeah.
The first one really captures that shift in identity. He calls it the information transformation paradigm. The corporation of the future will be distinguished not by what it produces, but by how effectively it processes information and converts knowledge into value.
Wow. So it's not about the car. It's about the knowledge about designing, building, selling, and servicing the car. The information layer is the business.
That's the implication. The value proposition shifts to the knowledge, the intelligence, wrapped around the product or service. Information processing effectiveness becomes the key differentiator.
Okay. What's another key idea?
This one's directed squarely at leadership and investment. Companies that treat information technology as merely a cost center rather than a strategic asset will find themselves increasingly unable to compete.
Pretty blunt. Treat IT like plumbing, and you'll eventually find your business underwater.
Essentially, yes. It's a call to fundamentally rethink where IT investment fits. It's not just keeping the lights on, it's investing in the future competitiveness of the firm. Strategic.
And the last one you mentioned touches on that democratization point we discussed with the PC.
Right. He makes this provocative claim. Information technology has done more to democratize corporate decision-making than any management philosophy.
More than, like, empowerment programs or flattening hierarchies.
That's what he argues. Because the tools themselves, the PC, the spreadsheet, accessible databases, they bypass traditional controls and put analytical power directly into the hands of many more people. It wasn't a top-down initiative. It was the tech itself changing the power dynamics from the bottom up, or maybe middle out.
That's fascinating. The tools changing the organization. Okay, so bringing this all together, how can understanding this 150-year history actually help someone, you know, listening today, dealing with today's tech deluge?
I think it offers a couple of really practical lenses. First, it helps you develop a more informed technology strategy. You can use that historical cycle. Cortada identified complexity creates problem drives tech adoption as a filter.
Press out.
When you pitch the latest AI platform or collaboration tool, you can ask the historical question. Okay, what fundamental persistent business problem is this actually solving for us? Is it addressing a real complexity or information bottleneck we have? Or is it just shiny? It helps you cut through the hype.
Right. Grounding the tech choice in a real business need, not just chasing the trend. What else?
The other huge takeaway is recognizing the human and cultural imperative. The history is littered with examples of expensive tech projects failing. Not because the tech was bad, but because the organization didn't change its processes, its culture, or its skills to actually use it effectively.
So implementation isn't just plugging something in?
Not at all. It's fundamentally about change management. It's about redesigning workflows, retraining people, shifting mindsets about data sharing and usage. If you ignore that human and process side, the best system in the world won't deliver value.
Okay. And any specific advice maybe for leaders or entrepreneurs listening based on this long view?
I'd say focus relentlessly on information governance and data quality. Cortatus history shows that problems like data silos, inconsistent definitions, duplicated records, lack of trust in the data, these aren't new. They've been barriers since the bunch card days. The technology keeps changing, but the underlying need for clean, reliable, well-managed data as a foundation, that's perennial. Get that right, and you're way ahead.
Garbage in, garbage out, just with faster machines over time.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And maybe remember that the core functions of business understanding customers, managing resources, making decisions, those remain constant. Technology is the ever-evolving tool set to perform those functions better, faster, smarter. Don't confuse the tool with the goal.
That's a great point. For me, thinking about this, what really struck me personally was that simple point about the typewriter and the file cabinet, calling them information technology.
Yeah.
It just reframes everything. It makes you realize this isn't some recent phenomenon. Businesses have always been wrestling with information. It grands the whole story and underlines that transformation is this constant ongoing process, sometimes revolutionary, sometimes just a better filing system. It's all adaptation.
That's a fantastic takeaway. And for me, the most crucial insight, the lesson that echoes across all 150 years, is Cortada's emphasis on needing simultaneous attention to all the pieces. The technology, the people, the processes, and the culture. You can't just focus on one. You can't just buy the latest tech and expect magic. You have to evolve the entire socio-technical system. The fundamental challenge is handling the sheer volume and speed of data, turning raw data into actual insight and action. Those are deep historical challenges. Understanding that continuity, I think, is the absolute key to navigating whatever comes next, including AI.
So the challenges are old. The need for integration is constant.
Exactly. And perhaps the final thought to leave listeners with, thinking about Cortada's core idea of the corporation as an information processing entity. As we enter an era potentially defined by AI, where machines can process information at scales we can barely comprehend, the essential question derived from this history maybe isn't just what new data can the AI generate, but rather how effectively can we, the people in the organization, integrate that machine-generated information, that knowledge, into our human processes, our decisions, our culture, to actually convert it into sustainable competitive value. That integration challenge remains the heart of the matter.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker. Another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.